mind what happened.
Tend to you. Surely, throat, pashas, or yeetsy.
One, two, almost ready. One.
Okay. Morning. Agreshkai, thank you very much for inviting me. The first time in Stop the Day Tour in Manchester. My name is Shuli Strum, by the way. I work as a rabbi for Eshel Torah here in Manchester. And Mitzvah Hashem, what I want to look at today, what I'd like to share with the Olam, is just a fascinating, enlightening way of looking at these parashiyos, in particular the machlekas and what seems to be the yesodos behind Yaakov and Esav, what was really going on over there, and possibly we're going to go through the parashiyos and highlight a couple of things. And we'll come out with an amazing yesod. A lot of it is from Rav Moshe Shapiro, it's from Sfarim, and I saw it and it was extremely enlightening for me, and I thought it would be something very beautiful to share. So it's yidua that when you look at these parashiyos and you see them in the way kind of we originally once learnt them, that nothing is as you see it, right? It doesn't make sense. The entire narrative of Yaakov and Esav and Yitzchak being someone who was managed to be fooled by Yaakov, fooled by Esav, and favored Esav over Yaakov. The Chorah doesn't make sense. The Chorah, there's a lot of it which at face value we can't understand. Esav. Well, and generally, the entire idea, how is it possible that Yitzchak Avinu could end up with a child, an Esav? Sorry. So, I would like to answer. Okay, we'll get there. You might be saying what I'm going to say. And I'm sure you've heard lots of shatim, but this is something which for me was new, so I hope for everyone here it's new. And then there's the obvious shiloh. The obvious shiloh, which probably everyone spoke about at the Shabbos tables this past week, is how is it possible that Esav was able to trick a Yitzchak, who was a Novi, Haloi Novi, who he knew everything. How is it possible that Esav was able to trick Yitzchak? How is it possible that he was able to show him Kitzayit Befiv? So there's a very interesting idea brought down from the Arizal. He says the following. He says, Kitzayit Befiv isn't talking about Esav's own mouth. Right? Pashtus, it means Kitzayit Befiv. Either it means he was physically tzayid, or it means he managed to convince them with certain words. He managed to convince Esav, and he asked, Eich Maasrim Sateven, Eich Maasrim Esamelach. And that was his way of encapturing someone as he spoke. However, the Arizal says, Kitzayit Befiv means Befiv Shel Esav. It means he himself had Tzayid in his mouth. And what's that referring to? He said it's referring to Torah Shabbal Peh. He said Torah Shabbal Peh means that Esav was the one who was first going to bring about the Yecholus, the possibility for Torah Shabbal Peh to be possible. And he says, how's this possible? How does this come about? He says, because the Maisa, the Makor of Torah Shabbal Peh, many years later, was Akiva, and Akiva was Ben Gerim. Akiva came originally, the Yerushalmi says it, that Akiva originally came from Gerim, and since he came from Gerim, he came from Mizara Shel Esav. And it was that Nekuda, that he came from Mizara Shel Esav, that enabled him that enabled him to be the one to start off to have the yecholus to bring out to be Mefitz Torah Baal Peh onto the world? And this is a very obvious question on this. That if Esav, if it's possible that Akiva was the one who was, because of the koyach of Esav, he brought Torah Baal Peh onto the world. First of all, we know that Gesh in the sky, Kikotin Shanoilad, Dami. And if it's Kikotin Shanoilad, then he hasn't got any sheikhs to his Zayda Esav. He hasn't got any sheikhs. So how is it possible that this is the case? And in Mitzvah, what we'll see how is it possible that Esav HaRosha was the one who brought about Torah Shabbal Peh. That also, the entire concept seems to be foreign, seems to not make sense. Now, what the parashas are very clear, and what we see, and what we've always learned about, is that there's a Yaakov and Esav, and Yaakov and Esav gave birth to Tov and Ra in the world. They gave birth to the start of good and the start of evil in the world. How is it that suddenly they gave birth to Tov and Ra in the world? Yeah, we know that the pasuk says Vayigdlu Hanorim, Vayhi Esav Yodei Atzayid VYaakov Ishsada. And we know that either they were 13 or they were 15 years at the time. But L'chaira, it seems to be until then. If you look from the Pashto Pesukim, it seems to be that until they were either 13 or 15, until they were that age, Yaakov and Esav were the same. Yaakov and Esav were the same children at home. They both came home with the same, they came from Cheder with the same questions and the same answers. And Yaakov was one day was the Mevata, and the other day Esav was the Mevata. They were both good kids. They were both Zisa kids from the first properly Yiddish home from the onset. How is it possible that suddenly at the age of 13 they went so different? How is it possible that they split off? So Esav, we know Esav somehow he came with the Koyach HaRa. And how the Sfarim explain it, is the Gemara says in Kedushin, the Gemara says that Esav was a Yisrael Muma. Esav was a Yisrael Muma, and everyone, all the Mefarshim ask that. How is it possible to? It's the Havamin of a Gemara, but the Gemara says the Gemara supposes that Esav is a Yisrael Muma. And all the Mefarshim asks, how is it possible that Esav is a Yisrael Muma? He says, first of all, Esav was the one that gave the name to Yisrael. Kisriso menekim v'anoshim v'tuchal. So how is it possible that he had any part and parcel of this aspect of Yaakov, that he was a Yisrael? He was the one who the Sar Shel Esav was the one who fought with Yaakov, was the one who fought with Yisrael. So how is it possible that he was a Yisrael Muma? It seems to be that until a certain stage in their life, he was mamish a Yisrael. And what happened was, that means there was a reason why Yaakov and Esav had to be born as twins. They had to be born tumim, mamish the same. And it seems to be that that Yaakov was Yisrael, and Esav was also Yisrael. However, Yaakov's Yisrael stayed the Yisrael, and Esav's Yisrael ended up as an Esav. Why? Because he was Hamir. He went off the rails. He became a mumma according with this aspect of Yisrael. So if you look in the Gemara in Pesachim, the Gemara says, and this Gemara is really talks about the introduction of Torah Shabbal Peh. And with this, we'll understand how is it possible that Esav brought about Torah Shabbal Peh, and how is it possible that Esav came about? So it's a very famous Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Ilav ha-yemed ha-kagarim kama Yosef ikka b'shuka. If not for this day, if not for the day of Matan Torah, there'll be plenty of Yosefs, there'll be plenty of Joes walking around in the street. He says, however, because of this day, there was a Rabbi Yosef. Now the Gemara carries on. It says, Rav Sheshes, kol tlasin yoymin, mahadalei talmudei, v'toli v'koyi be'ibra d'dasha. Every 30 days, Rav Sheshes used to do chazora on his limud. And what did he say? V'oma, chadai nafshoi, chadai nafshoi. Lech karai, lech tanai. Says Rashi, what does that mean? What was he saying? So Rashi says, chadai nafshoi, samchi nafshi. Let myself be, he was speaking to himself in the third person. He was saying, "Be happy, be besimcha, lech karai lech tanai, b'shvelech ulatzarchech shanisi v'karisi." He's saying, "For you and for yourself, shanisi v'karisi. I've learned and I've done chazara and I've gone over it, and because of that, I'm at this unbelievable level of simcha." That's what you say every 30 days. And the Gemara asks a question. The Gemara says, "Eini." The Gemara asks that this what Rav Sheshis was doing seems to be complicated, seems to be shver, because he's coming along and he's saying he's speaking about himself in the third person. Lech tanoi, lech karoi, you've done such an amazing job. Chazering and going over it again. The Gemara asks the question that how is it possible that he can take all this credit for himself? How is it possible that he can be so mesameach over his learning? And the Gemara answers, Meikora ki Ovid Inish, Adat Nafsheka Ovid. This is a club we've seen hundreds of times throughout Nezikin and all over. It says, Meikora ki Ovid Inish, Adat Nafsheka Ovid. Originally, when a Yid does something, he does it for himself. Now, it seems to be this Gemara is saying a lot more than just a mice of Rav Sheshis. The Gemara is saying, along comes Rav Sheshis, and he says, I've learnt all my life, and every 30 days I get to this unbelievable level of simcha. And the Gemara asks, how is it possible that you can take this credit for yourself? How is it possible that when you learn, you can take this credit, you can be so sameach, you can be so happy with everything you're learning, you can take all that credit and say, Yud b'shvelech k'risi v'shnisi, because of yourself, you've learnt and you've chazered. He said, well, how is it possible that a person can take this credit and say, this is I deserve this myself? Answers, and that seems to be the Gemara's question. I didn't do this for yourself, I did it. When I brought her in, I didn't do it in order that you can gain personal gratification from it. Answers the Gemara, Mi'ikara. Originally, every single point when a person starts learning, starts any point in Avodas Hashem, Ki Ovedin Shadat Nafshei Oved. Whenever anyone starts doing anything to do with Avodas Hashem, whenever a person works, does any mitzvahs, does any masim tovim, does anything that follows his Yetzirah, Adaita Nafshei Ka'ovid. He's doing it for himself. He's following his own sense of self, his own anoichius. Meaning that the reason why Rav Sheshis was allowed to have this idea of personal gratification, he was allowed to say, it's all because of me. I learned, I've studied, I've learned, I've done chazara. It's because Meikor Ki Ovid Inish, when a person originally starts doing something, Adat Nafshei Ovid. Every single maisa that a person does, he has first that sense of self, that sense of, I'm doing this for myself, I'm doing this, Shlei Lishma Poshut, for no other reason other than myself. And the Gemara over here is telling us an unbelievable Yesoid. It's telling you that it lies within every single action a Yi does, a person, there's a certain sense of complete selfishness. We think when we do mitzvahs, that mitzvahs are supposed to be only for the sake of Shemayim, only for the sake I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm giving tzedakah, it's purely for the sake of the person I'm giving it to. But the Gemara is saying an amazing thing, Naomi, Kara Ki Avadinish. The first point that every single human being does when they do a Maisa Mitzvah is Adait Nafshei Ovid. And this is not a problem, this is Rav Sheshis we're talking about. When Rav Sheshis first did this Maisa Adait Nafshei Ovid, he was doing it for himself. Now, this Yesoid seems to be the entire Yesoid for Torah Shebaal Peh, for why we learn and why we do mitzvahs and why we do. And why the Torah was given to us in this form that we can do mitzvahs. When every single person has an anoichi, a certain sense of himself, that he needs to satisfy, that he needs to do something, that he needs to do mitzvahs as a result of. Elicited in every single mitzvah is this idea of part of it I'm doing it for myself, the rest of it I'm either doing for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, for the rest of the world, but a person can never escape from this. Now, this idea, this onoichius, yeah, this idea of meikara ki ovid inish, started, this idea came about, was always in the Bria. Avram Avinu, already we saw this idea already with Avram, we saw it with Yitzchak, and we saw it with Yaakov, and I'll explain how. It's very well known that Avram is keneged midas ha-chesed, and Yitzchak is keneged midas ha-din. Now, we've understood that there's a lot to say. Avram was keneged midas ha-chesed. We know because he opened up his house towards chesed. Yitzchak is midas ha-din. He never left Eretz Yisrael. Midas ha-din automatically means is always synonymous with the idea of not going out of your boundaries, of there being a rule and regulation for every single thing. But the Gemara says the Medrash has a very fascinating idea, which brings out what's the real yesod behind this midas hadin and midas hachesed. And it says it in the following way: when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Malachim to be mevasa Avraham about Leidas Yitzchak, the Medrash says that the same Malachim that came to mevasa Avraham about Leidas Yitzchak also went to turn over Sodom. Now, why did these malachim need to be doing the same thing? Why did they need to be on one hand following? On one hand, they needed to mevasa about Leidas Yitzchak. On the other hand, they had to destroy Sodom. So Rav Moshe Shapiro explains it with the following unbelievable way. He says that Avraham Avinu was midas hachesed. Now, midas hachesed, in its true form, means that everything in this world happens because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give endlessly. And Avraham Avinu, who was kol kuloi midas hachesed, perpetuated this idea of giving endlessly, of not making a cheshbon, anyone that came into his house, and he brought this idea of chesed into the world. He said, however, too much chesed means that we will never ever feel a satisfaction of doing anything. The Derech Hashem speaks about this when he explains why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He said that there's an idea called Nahamod Echsufa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have created the world and he could have given every single human being endless good without us having to struggle, without us having to work hard. He could have given us endless schar. Like so why?
Like the behemoths.
Right. And why is that like the behemoths? Why does that end up like the behemoths? Because if you give endless schar and there's no payback, then that's kol kolay midas hachesed. In the end, then there's what's lacking is the entire geshmak of life, the entire geshmak of living and of working against the Yetzer Hara. That is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made shittuch imoy midas hadin. He made midas hadin. He attached midas hadin to that. And therefore he made this balance, and only within midas hadin can midas hachesed continue. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Now he says the following: Avraham Avinu was the first one to discover Hashem. Avraham Avinu had to have a midas hachesed. However, for the world to continue this way with a Zayda Avraham meant eventually we will be part and parcel of midas hachesed. We wouldn't be able to live in a world where there is schar v'onesh, where we're doing mitzvahs and we're seeing the schar as a result. He said, therefore, what had to happen was midas hadin had to enter this world. He says, however, midas hadin, there was two possible ways it could enter the world. It could enter the world as a sodom. Now, Sodom is midas hadin in its ultimate state. Why? Sodom created a society where they said, if you give to someone else, even a shemet, even a drop, you give anything to someone else, then you're destroying society. Because every single human being needs to work for himself, every single human being needs to... This was the ultimate libertarian society, they call it nowadays. That this is that every single person needs to work exactly for himself and needs to everything. Either you deserve it, if you deserve it, you get it. If you don't deserve it, then no one can help you. Now that is midas hadin in its extreme form. Yitzchak, on the other hand, Yitzchak was Eile told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram holed es Yitzchak. Yitzchak was a midas hadin. We know that we always speak in Shemoneh Esrei. We mention that Yitzchak comes from Gevura, and Avram holed es Yitzchak. The type of midas hadin, the type of Gevura that Yitzchak was, came as a result of an Avram. Came out of midas hachesed, which was contracted from midas hachesed. Midas hachesed is too much. Along came midas hadin and entered the world, and that is midas hadin under, that's midrash din under control. That too much chesed is not enough, and therefore there has to be a gavul. It has to be constricted. So what came out was that the same malachim that came to destroy Sodom because midrash din in that state was too much, also came to Mivas on Lidas Yitzchok, because Yitzchok was going to be the one that rectifies this world from Midas HaChesed, which was also, would have been too extreme, and balances it, puts it on a balance. How do Yaakov and Esav come in? Yaakov and Esav were Yoyrish, these same ideas. Yaakov and Esav was Yoyrish from their parents and their grandparents, the same idea of Midas HaDin and Midas HaChesed. It's well known that Ashrish Advarim Ha'olim Oymed Ala Torah Vala Avodah Vala Gminas HaSodim, and these all correlate to the three of us. Avodah is Yitzchak, Gminas HaSodim is Avram, and Torah is Yaakov. Now, what happened to Esav? Why did he not get the Torah? The answer is that he also had that. Yitzchok Esav also had the possibility to be the one that was part and parcel of the others. He could have been the one that was the third, was together with Yaakov, was the third regel of this Merkava of Torah Avodah Gemilas HaSodim. However, what happened? He said Esav missed this point. Esav became a Yisrael Muma. He took the koichos of Yisrael and he was Hamir. He turned it on its face. He didn't manage to utilize it in its true way. He says, why? Because Yaakov was an Ishtam. Yaakov never had the Nisyonos that Esav ever had. And therefore Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Aholim, he was able to take the koichos that he was born with, which was the Midas HaChesed and the Midas HaGvura, as they were handed down to him from Yitzchok. However, and he was able to make himself a Yaakov and throw it into Torah and create the Amudah Torah. He says Yitzchok Esav, however, he was Hamer this idea. Now, how was that? How was he Hamer this idea? We spoke about the idea of Rav Sheshes, and we spoke about the idea that Rav Sheshes said that the Gemara says Meikara ki Ovid Inish Adat Nafshei Ovid. When a human being does something, Adat Nafshei. Now, in every human being, there's an anoichius, there's a sense of self, which is set against every action he does. Every action we know, all the Sforim speak about this. Aderech Hashem definitely speaks about this at length. That we are either fighting to do mitzvahs and masim tovim, or our Yetzer Hara, which is we know is the Sitnei Shel Esav, is the Esav was the embodied version of the Yetzer Hara, is saying no, I want to do what I want to do. I want to do what myself wants to do. So how is it possible to fight this? If the Gemara says Meikara ki Ovidin Shadai Tnafshei Ovid, that originally when a person does something, he does something for himself, how is it possible for us ever to do anything L'shem Shemaim? How is it possible for us ever to do anything for an altruistic purpose, for the sense of Bris Olam? So the Sfarim explain that although Ani is the shorish of everything you do, however, the Ani, meaning the sense of looking for yourself in every single action, grows with age. He says it's very simple how you see this. If you see a little kid and you give him a sweet, he would rather that no one else gets the sweet and only he gets the sweet. He said with maturity, with age, eventually you give the kid a sweet. For him, it makes more sense when a child is older that he should get the sweet and everyone else should get the sweet as well at the same time. What's the idea behind this? He says because originally, both times he wants himself to get... Both times, he's looking for himself. He's not when he's older, he's not looking out for everyone else. He said, however, it is more worthwhile for himself to get this sweet if everyone else is getting it. That means that the sense of anoichius, the sense of looking out for yourself, grows with age. It doesn't mean that we dispel that, that when you're a child and when you haven't worked on yourself and when you're still at the original stage, then you're only looking for yourself, and afterwards you're looking out for mankind, for Klal Yisrael. That's not what it means. It means that as time goes on, eventually the ani includes far more. And we know that's poshut. How's this so? So Rashi Shapiro explains it with the following idea, and it's fascinating. He says that every single thing a person does that's misameach a person is when the sense of self becomes bigger. What's the classic? What's the biggest happiness a yid can get? Nachas, getting married. All these cases are when your sense of self is broadened. Eventually, eventually this hits this is my love, your entire, and it goes Michael Choy your entire life, till eventually, not only when you does your anoichius yourself include your wife and your family and your children, but also your kehillah and also Klal Yisrael. That's how a person grows. But it doesn't mean that a person is ever fighting this anoichius that he grew up with. He's never fighting this meikorik yavadinish. However, what does happen? What happens is that you could be like Esav. Esav was the epitome of looking out for himself, right? He came in, he came in and he said, give me that stuff. The entire Bechorah was at stake. The entire Bechorah and according to the way we've understood this, it means that the Bechorah means the essence, the Bechorah of all the Midas that were brought down to him, which means everything he had to do with it, that entire Bechorah, the entire Klal Yisrael, the entire balance of Chesed and Din was at stake. He said, no, I'm going to follow my Anoichios. That means a person's struggle to keep up with himself in this world is when he looks at the Anoichi aspect of it. He looks at the idea of looking out purely for himself and not expanding this anochi for everyone else. And this idea is the opposite of simcha. When does simcha occur? Simcha occurs when a person looks at himself and he's seen that his himself was misrachiv. Yeah, the even if a person looks at a smile, when a person smiles, His mouth physically becomes bigger. That's the biggest shape your mouth can possibly take is in the shape of a smile. And the idea is because when you're besimcha, your sense of self becomes larger and becomes more important, becomes more overwhelming. Right. So that is that, and it's with this that we are mechuyev to go into the world and try and change everything that we're doing. In Shema we say, "Va'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha." And the Gemara says, "How can you serve Hashem b'shnei yitzarecha? How is it possible b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha?" So the Gemara says, "B'yitzah toiv v'b'yitzah hara." So how do we understand this? How is it possible to serve Hashem with yitzah hara? Now, the third way we've understood it, it makes a lot of sense. What the whole tachlis of the Yetzer Hara is in order to strengthen the anochius inside you. Now, our yesod of what we're trying to do, the avoda of Klal Yisrael, the avoda of mankind, is to take your shnei yetzarim, the Yetzer that your Yetzer Tov, and also the Yetzer Hara that's saying, I just want to do this for myself and not for anyone else, and together with that, be over the Hashem, with everything. And that's the idea of Ahavta Hashem Lekecha. True Ahava comes when you've used both of your Yetzerim in order to come to this stage. Sorry, I just lost my... Okay. Sorry. So, so the Gemara. So now this brings us back to everything we've understood in why it was that Esav was the one who brought about Limud HaTorah in this world. Because the Chazal says, "Ilav Yetzahara." I can't remember the Lashon of Chazal. It says, "Chedvus Tadishmaitza only exists because of the Yetzahara." Anyone know the Chazal? "Ilav." I think it's "Ilav Yetzahara," and there'd be no Chedvus Tadishmaitza. He says, "Why? What's Pashat Pshat in this Gemara?" The reason is because the Yetzirah is the one, is the antibody, is the one who's loichem against our Chedvus HaDishmaitza. Is the one who's telling us not to enjoy everything we're doing, not to have a geschmack in learning. It's the one that's telling us that just that go through life and look at it as if there's no struggle, there's no Yetzirah. Look at it as everything is falling on your plate. We know what we've seen is that the Yetzirah is there in order to put in the chayim into life, in order to put in the geshmak into life, in order that we're not doing everything for the sake of personal gratification, for the sake of just doing it for myself and just getting everything, which would end up in namad chesufa. So Chazal says that. So this is Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Ilav." The Gemara says, "Mikor ki Ovid Inish Adait Nafshei Ovid." When originally, when someone does something, Adait Nafshei Ovid, he does it for himself. And the Gemara is answering, what was the problem with Rav Sheshes? Right? Rav Sheshes says, Chadoy Nafshei, Lech Karoy Lech Tanoi. He said, everything I've done is because I've put in my amelus, I've put in myself to it. And the Gemara says, the Gemara asks the question, how is it possible that he has that sense of simcha? How is it possible that he's saying it's all because of himself? The Gemara answers that Meikariki Ovidin Shalit Nafshei Ovid. Originally, when a person does something, Adait Nafshei Ovid. However, this idea of originally is very important. Because it's not possible that a person could go through the entire life with this meikara ki ovid inish adait nafshei ovid. A person can't go through life and do every single mitzvah only meikara ki ovid inish. It has to be a meikara. It has to be the first step of what he's doing is adait nafshei. The first step of what he's doing is for his own self. After that, Avada, it has to be l'shem shamayim, l'shem the rest of the world, l'shem whatever onoichi would include at that stage. However, if a person stays with meikara, that is what the Yetzirah is trying to do, and that's what Chazal means when it says ilav Yetzirah. Then there'd be no chedus adishmaitza. It means if not for the Yetzirah putting in that onoichi, that sense of self in the first stage, then Chedus HaDishmaitza will be lost. We wouldn't be doing anything. However, what we have to make sure that it's only that stage of Meikara. If it's any more than that, then we're going to be lost. Then eventually we end up like an Esav. Now Esav was the Meikara, was this idea of Meikara of everything he received from Yitzchak and Yaakov. Esav was the Bechor. That means Esav was the first, the righteous only, the first idea, the first rotzen, the first thought of Yitzchak and of Avram. And Esav could have done what Rav Sheshes would have done. He could have said Meikara ki Ovid Inishadad Nafshei Ovid, but he could have ended up with the entire world, with an entire Torah Shebaal Peh under his belt. Instead, what did Esav do? He was tzayid b'fiv. And we saw originally was that tzayid b'fiv means that the tzeder was in his mouth. That the Talmudah, we saw that Rizal says that tzayid b'fiv means that the Talmudah, that this idea of Torah Shebaal Peh originated in the piv of Esav. He says that if you, Rav Moshe Shapiro says something amazing. He says if you look at the words, tzayid is gematria 104, which is half of Yitzchak. He says why? Because Esav had the possibility. Esav was the righteous enemy. He was potentially half of Yitzchak, and he had the possibility to take that and create the whole of the Olam HaTorah out of it. But what did Esav end up doing? Esav left it at Tzayid B'fiv. This Anochi, he left it at that stage, and that's how he lived his entire life. And the whole point of the Yetzer Hara is to take this Tzayid B'fiv, take the Yetzer Hara, and leave it with Anochias, leave it with the first stages, and not let it be Mechaber to the rest of your life. The whole point of the Yetzer Hara is to say, the opposite of V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nefeshecha b'shnei yetzeracha. The Yetzer Hara says no. My Anochias is separate. I'm not going to take that into part of my life. I'm not going to take that into everything that I'm doing and make that all about myself and about Hashem. I'm going to leave it at this stage. So it comes out that the Yetzer Hara, that Esav, that was the Yetzer Hara, was the one who brought in this Yetzer. This Yetzirah Mibachutz, who brought in this Yetzirah and gave the Yetzirah a koyach to be shoylut on everyone. Had Yitzchok, had Esav taken this Yetzirah and done with it what Yaakov had done, then we would not have the Chedvus HaDishmaitza. We would not have this Midas HaDin constantly against the Yemidas HaRachmin, battling against each other. We would be left with endless with endless chesed. We'll be left with Naama Dechsufa. Instead, what we have as a result of Yaakov and Esav is we have an Esav battling every single Yaakov that we do, and that Esav is the one that's injecting the chedus hadishmaitza into every single act. It's the one that's injecting the meikor ovid inish adai to the nafshei ovid. It's injecting this sense of anoichi into everything we do, and it comes out that the reason why Yitzchok was looked at Esav, and he favored Esav is because Yitzchok knew this. Yitzchok knew Kitzayid B'fiv. Yitzchok tried to nurture this sense of Yisrael inside Esav. However, Esav did the opposite. Esav became a Yisrael mumma. He took this element of Yisrael, and he was hamerit. He used it for the sense of himself, for the sense of anochi, for the sense of and not for the sense of making it of making it what Yaakov did to it, which was taking this Yetzer Hara, overcoming it, and becoming an Esav that can defeat it. And what we end up with is Esav and Yaakov, an entire life where there's the Yetzer Hara is mibachutz, the Yetzer Hara didn't succeed, and he's constantly fighting against the midas achesed, constantly fighting against this idea of trying to receiving things for no reason whatsoever, and it's constantly making everything harder. But the one mile that came out of this is what the Gemara says, that because of the Yetzer Hara, ilav Yetzer Hara, the Chedvus HaDishmaitza would be lost. So now, as a result of Esav HaRosha, we have this Chedvus HaDishmaitza, we have this Chedva for every single difficulty in learning, every single difficulty in Avodas Hashem that we have, is because Esav didn't succeed in becoming a Yisrael. He became a Yisrael Mumma. Shkoyach.